Das ist Bern einfach. Jeden Tag die richtige Dosis Politik vom Nebelspalter. Kritisch und unabhängig.
Der Podcast wird gesponsert von Auditswiss, Ihrer Experte rund ums Thema Revision und Wirtschaftsprüfung. www.auditswiss.ch.
Willkommen zu Bern einfach Spezial, eine Sondersendung über eine interessante Studie über den Mangel. Und das tönt im ersten Augenblick etwas schwierig, etwas komisch. Was hat der Mangel mit dem Menschen zu tun? Aber ich begrüße eine interessante Person, die das untersucht hat. Und ich wechsle dafür auf Englisch. Elena Leontieva from Vilnius, thank you for having you here in this podcast. Bern einfach. We are talking about your interdisciplinary study on scarcity. And I must admit, when I read that first, scarcity, what is about scarcity? We in Europe, we live in a world, we have so many things, we have so many goods and wealth. And why have you come to the idea that scarcity is such an important thing for human beings?
Thank you, Dominique, and hello, everyone. Welcome to the universe of scarcity and lack. We call it scarcity in economic domain, but when we come to understand the most universal phenomena of something being not complete, not perfect, not finished, then we call it lack. And we found out that lack is one of the three principles, the philosophical elements which are behind everything coming to being, everything changing. So there is form, matter, and there is this lack which allows form and matter to intersect with each other. And the other understanding of lack is a potential, something that is not yet here, something that is on the way. It is a possibility, and we always need some patience, some time to wait for something to become, for something to change. And my inspiration to start this study was coming from my reform experience, when at the beginning people in Lithuania were very favorable to free market reform, but at some point people started to refuse the need to measure, the need to have values, and to have monetary estimations. And eventually I started to realize that people refuse not economic way of thinking and economic way of measuring and exchanging, but they refuse something which is behind economics. And the thing behind economics is scarcity of resources, scarcity of time. So my hypothesis was that humanity doesn't know enough about the importance of a more universal principle. And as we found out, it is really universal. It's not about economics. Economics is just one aspect of universal lack. It is everywhere in the structure of being, in chemical processes, in physical processes, in cosmos. And of course, human beings are especially suffering, or especially feeling scarcity, and our neuron system is made to use scarcity as a trigger. So we always respond to something that is not satisfying us because we want to improve the things. We want plentitude where there was scarcity. So, and human being is born naked and lacking everything, and we are growing into mature persons by acquiring features that we were lacking just a moment ago. Mm-hmm. So it is wonderful when we start to see that imperfections in our life are the opportunities. And so, the other person is also lacking perfection as much as I'm lacking.
So you have told me, and maybe I have to introduce you to the audience, you are the president of the Lithuanian Free Market Institute, which I remember you founded it 30 years ago almost. And so you learned how economics is not enough for your work, maybe, as you mentioned. You learned that you are lacking more of a broader view on what's going on in our society, isn't it?
Yes, and also the transition from socialist system to the capitalist or free market system mm-hmm. was very special experience, because at the very first years of the reform, people expected that now we will become rich and everyone will have a Ferrari, and still there was scarcity. Even in this Western way of life, there was scarcity. So I think I was in a very favorable historical situation to find out that scarcity is not specific to socialism as a shortage of everything, which of course we experienced. Mm-hmm. And scarcity is not something which is created by the capitalist unequal allocation as many people depict it. That scarcity is not a result of some social problems, but scarcity is really ontological. It's really an universal and material element which will always be with us. And as we understand it, of course, we can come back to economics and understand economics as one aspect of human reality, which was a special response of humanity to lack and scarcity, because we always have to produce some material resources in order to survive, to continue the life. And money appeared in economic system as a helper of humanity to measure things, to put value to the things. And good money is scarce money. Yeah, and the whole life of humanity is also a kind of a tension with money, because everyone wants to have more money. And if we make it a systematically money that is not scarce, we have what we have today in the Western society. We have bad money, which disallocates resources, and the prices cannot signal what they ought to signal.
Mm-hmm. So you just said that scarcity, lack, is triggering people to start working, to start having idea, having dreams, and making something out of their talent. Yeah. But in our society, isn't it like that? There is lack can also triggering people or make people depressive and say, oh, I'm lacking these things. It's not clear that lack is triggering optimism and activity and plans and dreams. Where is the shift? What are the circumstances that are triggering positive forces to make the world a better place, maybe?
Yeah. Right. It depends on the culture, on our education. And if we find out that humanity does not understand the instrumental role of scarcity, then every human being can take it as his own problem. Once we understand that this is the rule of the game, it is much easier to come to a friendship with incompleteness of the world. And I believe that people can find more positive relationship with the lack, then they can understand that this is a potential to which they have to learn to respond from their childhood. Mm-hmm. And so the shift could be from more people being in a trap of scarcity and paralyzed. Paralyzed by scarcity, more people would be able to be in a positive relationship with scarcity and to always find a way to act, to produce welfare, to find friendship, to find new contacts, to find meaning, because scarcity is not only about material things. It's about existential, spiritual things as well. So to understand that this is my vehicle by which I will always remain a human being which have some aims. And to have an aim means to be unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. To be unsatisfied means that I'm triggered by those incompletenesses and those lacks. And this is wonderful to better understand the background of our humanity, the background of our motivations, how we set our priorities, because our priorities always speak about the biggest lack that is triggering us to act. Mm-hmm. So I believe that our study has a strong therapeutic value, and we already feel it by spreading the word that people say, oh, you know, it's a big comfort that I get from understanding that lack will always be with us. So it does not mean that I am not successful. The most successful people will face some more peculiar aspects of lack.
It is very practical. It is, if you understand that you are lacking things and you need a trigger, even to get up in the morning and know why you do that, why are you working, why are you starting? And we have in our daily life, we have so many things to do, and some of them are very meaningful, others are just, we have to do them, but you know why you do that. This gives you a sense of meaning in your daily life. And if you understand that the lack is the motivation to start this journey towards a meaning, then I think it's really practical. How did you get there? You invited economists, and I learned also philosophers, theologians, and others to discuss that. Please tell the audience a little bit, how did you get there? Because you started with this idea, but then how did you work this out?
Yeah, so we invited people from different disciplines, exactly as you mentioned, philosophers, anthropologists, theologians, historians, sociologists. And my question was, what does humanity know about things being not perfect, things being not complete? And we wanted to study what humanity knows about this element. And soon enough, we came to understanding that this is really a universal element found everywhere. Physicists were not involved in the study, but we engaged them when we made a documentary. And they also proved that if we look at the physical world, it's always an interplay of form, matter, and scarcity or potential. So it was a blessed journey, and for the scholars itself, it was very important to better understand why we lack time for perfection, also of our research, of our essays, why the other person is as imperfect, different aspects of imperfection, but he's also imperfect, as I am imperfect. It brings a much better spirit in the team and in the family once you understand all these nuances and the very knowledge that if I was perfect and I was changing, the only way to change would be to become worse. So if I'm open to change, it means I'm open to perfection, which means that I'm not yet at the point of perfection. And of course, theological insights were also very important, speaking about mortality of human being, you know, temporarity, the limited nature of human being. It was very important to put it in synergy with what we know about economic action of man, and it brought very, very rich results, those insights. And today we already apply this understanding to such phenomena as universal basic income, for example, the mm-hmm. promise to pay everyone thousand francs or euro or whatever. And we even say that if economically it would be possible, we have to study what would be the impact on the human nature, on the human relationship. And the study showed that it would devalue natural human motivation to study, to acquire competences which are necessary on the market, to strive, because life is always, you know, about striving. And even the communal life would be cut, even the family life could be endangered, because everyone would be, you know, independent from the parents, from the children, but everyone would be dependent on the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
so it is not a solution for the problem.
It's yes.
I really think, because you grew up in a socialist meant to be paradise, which in theory there is no lack in communism, but there has always been lack in communism.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think it is so important, your study, because it shows us that it is not necessary and not possible to overcome lack. It is, we shouldn't aim to overcome lack, we should aim to make the best out of it. So it is a totally different approach to lack or scarcity, and it is an alternative to all these here in the western part of Europe, to young people that are thinking, first of all, I have to be perfect, and if I'm not perfect, the state will do something to make me perfect and to abolish all kind of lack. So it is a more pragmatic, more realistic, and more human kind of vision how we should live together, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And it is very liberating.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Empowering. And also it gives understanding that life is always about some striving and about putting efforts, and it will continue to be so. And especially we feel that the younger generation, people who live in the, you know, plentitude, they have more difficulties because they are lacking this trigger, this natural motivation. And so it's also a message for the communities and for the parents, a very timely message to help us live up with the progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the progress brings more fruits than we are able to live beneficially with, then it is a problem for the society. So once we understand that lack is always with us, but it will only change forms, it will change aspects, we are more ready to put efforts and to see meaning even in small things, because those small things, they explain better why I did what this or that, why I have this responsibility. By the way, the very word responsibility is very meaningful. I raised the question to myself. In all languages, to respond is, you know, respondere, mm-hmm. from Latin.
Mm-hmm.
You take French or German, probably it's you know, responsibilities, the response. And the question was, yes, so to what are we responding as a humanity? And my hypothesis is that we are always responding to some lacks, and we take the responsibility to, yeah, to create, to produce, to overcome some shortages. So it's the research is still going, because every day we see new opportunities and new needs from the society, how this knowledge can be applied and make our life more meaningful, and also protect from utopias and delusions. Because
very important.
Yes, mm-hmm. In private life, if we don't understand lack, it leads to illusions. You know, I'm waiting for the prince on a white horse, and the life will be perfect without any lacks. And then the real person arrives in our life, and he has scarcities. He has some.
He has no horse.
He has the limits. So, yeah. And then it leads to divorce and looking for another prince and so on. So once we understand that the other person always has some lacks, and love is not about the perfection, love about the uniqueness and about mutual growth. Mm-hmm. So it is, I think, a protection from damaging the whole mm-hmm. life. But also in social field, it also protects from utopias, because communism is basically a utopia which is based on ignoring the importance of scarcity, importance of lack. And so the new versions of socialism born in the Western world now, not mm-hmm. so much in the East, they always are to some extent related to ignoring some kind of scarcity.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think the study is very important for Western Europe as well, because it's really, we have here the tendency, especially among youngsters, that they are so into materialism and so into this utopia thinking that there is this possibility to overcome every kind of luck. And it's just, you just have to take the money from those and give it to others, or rule something, or having a good dictatorship is also becomes maybe on the right side, as popular than on the left. And this is really dangerous. At the end, your study is interesting, because it's really, it gives the responsibility, as you mentioned before, back to the individual, and you have to respond to the lack and have to take your talents, your dreams, and make something out of your life. It's deeply an individualistic way of overcoming materialism, and that's why it is about freedom, and deep feeling of belonging and the sense of living. So it gives a path for dreams and talents of young people. That's why we should talk about it, isn't it?
Oh, it's excellent development of our ideas. Yeah.
I do what an interviewer shouldn't do. But yeah, tell me at the end, what are you doing now with this study? Where it is it published? I will make a link down below so everyone can read it. There is a version in English. There is a version in German, I learned. And
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is Lithuanian, unfortunately. Yeah, I'll give you the link to German and to English version. Also, the documentary.
Yes, there's a documentary, a video. Yeah.
Documentary, mm-hmm. which is a very good synthesis of the whole study. And today we are applying it to analysis of universal basic income. And we bring this knowledge to schools, and not only in Lithuania. Now we started to write fairy tales So we understand that people from the very young age, they need to come to be acquainted with this principle of imperfection and also not to fall into the utopias that if I have everything at the beginning of the fairy tale, you know, it will be a happy end. No, mm-hmm. no, you know, the fairy tale takes steps. And if you have everything from the beginning, you cannot improve. So it's a new adventure for us to find new ways to communicate this knowledge so that people really find more meaning, more joy, more liberty in their life. And exactly as you said, to understand their gifts better and to understand that gifts also have to be perfected. You know, nothing is given in complete perfection to us. And the world is given in order to be the vicars of the world, to continue their creation. So spreading the word about it. Also, we have an invitation from foreign universities to improve the curricula of teaching PPE. This is a very popular subject now, philosophy, politics, and economics. Mm-hmm. The curriculums, they need improvement. They need more holistic philosophical approach to economic theory in the light of, overall philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so there are possibilities and there is a need and demand to bring this in a more practical use.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely great. Elena Leontieva, I really thank you for your study, for your work all these years and for your really engagement and the insights you gave us today into this study about lack, about scarcity, about meaning, about utopias. I really recommend everyone to read it and to get in touch with your institute. I will publish a link down below as well. And I really thank you. Hope to see you next time, discuss other things, interesting insights you have from your institute in Vilnius in Lithuania. Thank you very much. And have a good time. See you next time.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
Das ist Bern einfach gsi.
Der Podcast wird gesponsert von Audi Swiss. Ihre Experte rund ums Thema Revision und Wirtschaftsprüfung. www.auditswiss.ch